Recent launches were curtailed due to the results, yet net sales outpaced launches. Land bank landed at 11 billion. Gross profits at 105 million, net income at 140 million. Net cash at 1.72 billion, and portfolio of receivables at 504 million. Now, in a more detailed fashion, going ahead towards the operational session, we'll add more detail, add more nuance to the year's results. Now, looking at the land bank, I'd like to bring your attention to the graph above, where you look at the evolution from 2019 to 2020, which is basically the time where EZTEC fulfilled its mandate that it was given at the time of the follow-on in September 2019, where we injected as much as 940 million in cash. And over the course of the year up until right now, we have effectively fulfilled that mandate with acquisitions, which is why you see the volume of land bank reaching all the way up to 11 billion by the 2020 carve-out. But if you were to actually include acquisitions that happened by the first quarter and that by this point are already definitive acquisition, here I mentioned, for example, Extra Marginal, where you actually already had the first installment already paid, which adds an additional 1.6 billion to that 2020 carve-out. And on top of optioned acquisitions, where we still have the capacity to move on with the acquisition or not if we so choose, we'd land at 13.3 billion in available land bank as we speak today. Please note that if we were to exclude from this figure the 3.4 billion in commercial land bank, basically what we'll be saying is that we have enough land bank for as much as 4 years, launching at a base level of 2.5 billion per year, which constitutes a very, very robust, very comfortable operational base for us to think of this cycle going ahead. Now, moving to the bottom left corner of that slide, you notice the composition from that land bank in a very well-distributed, healthy diet between all types of segments. Basically, when you look at the mid and economic segments, there's even some room for maneuver here from projects that we may choose to adapt from one side to the other. But by and large, that's enough material for us to have a very strong start. You've been noticing that the cash burns we've registered over the past quarters have been basically on the back of these acquisitions. But as of now, we're still standing at as much as a little bit over 650 million in disbursements still to be made, referring to these acquisitions, much of it still to happen in 2021 and 2022. Now, moving on to slide number five, where we talk about both sales as well as launches, you notice that we naturally were hampered by the pandemic in 2020, and we resulted with, and you notice that the list of projects on the bottom left, you realize that much of the launches that took place in 2020 actually happened by the very end of the year, by December. That has to do with the pandemic shock, naturally, but it also mounts with a bottleneck that we faced over the course of the year in emitting approvals for projects upon the Secretariat of Licensing from the municipality. It was an issue that we struggled with over the course of the third and fourth quarter, yet we will touch on how we're doing that thus far. And as a spoiler, that's as much as 550 million in projects already approved. Even so, that took a hit on the sales performance in the fourth quarter, which didn't really take the edge off of an overall year of surprisingly good performance. Here, I'd like to call your attention on the top right graph to the fact that we had net sales of ready inventory, surprisingly large. You noticed 314 million of gross sales, basically in line with what we delivered in 2019, despite the fact that the underlying availability of that inventory is shrinking significantly. So very good news across the board. And when you look at cancellations in the second, on the mid right, you may notice that there was a perceptible spike in the third as well as in the fourth quarter. But here, like on a more qualitative note, try to mitigate any concern that you may have on that subject, because in the third quarter specifically, you naturally had some scare from the shock of the pandemic. Yet as much as 50% of those cancellations on the third quarter were actually upgrades, downgrades, and transfers. In other words, they were cancellations that were registered, but they were immediately accompanied by a subsequent sale. So in any way, it reflects a proactive stance from the internal team. When you look at the fourth quarter, you still have a lingering cancellation, but as much as 60% of the fourth quarter cancellations are actually on the high as well as smart living segments, which really reflect in any way a more malleable approach to the cancellations in projects where you actually have significant increases in prices. And it really makes sense for the company to take those units back and be able to resell them with no much added effort and with increasing margins. With that, I'll move ahead to the slide number six, where I'll address inventory. I think that the result from these trends I just mentioned, where we had limited launches in the face of a demand that in the face of sales that actually drew a V-shaped return as early as July, and that has actually working quite well up until now. It naturally takes a hit because of the red phase of the pandemic, but it really led to a contraction of the available inventory to 1.8 billion. And if you were to look up until today, you'd probably see something short of 1.6 billion in available inventory because of what has been sold thus far. Naturally, that you also notice on the bottom graph that it is a very young inventory, is a very fresh inventory from projects that were recently launched and are currently in construction. There's not much more of that symptomatic ready inventory that's lingering in the balance sheet. The remainder of the ready inventory is mainly concentrated in Guarulhos, which in its own turn has been selling at a gross margin north of 50% consistently over the past quarters. Overall, the fact that the inventory levels are very much contained, very much under control, really give an additional confidence in our capacity to fulfill the launching guidance going ahead with the tranquility that you may have some additional gross inventory formation, but that's still very much under control, given where the starting point we begin at. Now, moving ahead to slide number seven, I'll actually start introducing the launches that we made over the course of 2020 and a very strong start in the first quarter of 2020, especially marked by the Air Brooklyn launch. That was the centerpiece of that quarter. Naturally, prior to the pandemic, you saw sales really outperforming. And Air Brooklyn, as of now, is already at 70% of the project sold, but generally sales performance across the board. Over the course of the second quarter, we were majorly hit by the pandemic. In the third quarter, we actually would have desired to launch more than we actually did. Here, the approval bottleneck kicked in. Yet we managed to launch projects to the extent that we were getting those approvals admitted, where you see Gran Maya, especially Piazza, with an outstanding 59% sales performance. And especially in the fourth quarter, where, again, launches were concentrated in the very end of the year by the month of December. So no individual project had much more than a few weeks to be sold over the course of the fourth quarter. before we had the holiday recess, both for the administrative staff as well as for the commercial staff. But when you look at the current picture of where they're standing as of February in 2021, the figures you're looking at, you realize that you have generally two positive trends. You have Fichicasa projects, the low-income projects, Fichicasa, Estação José Bonifácio, and Meu Mundo Estação Mooca, delivering something like 20% of sales within the very first month, within the very first months. It is very compatible, very adequate for the profile of Fichicasa projects, of low-income projects. If you look at the average of the first three launches we made in Fichicasa thus far, they all have the same pattern where you launch, where you sell something like 20-25% in the first quarter, but you follow up with a full year where you sell an additional 45% in average. So Fichicasa generally has a flatter sales curve, mostly due to the bureaucracy that's added to the process at the very early stage of sale, when you have to arrange the financing for the client prior to the construction. That introduces a bottleneck, but that doesn't really hamper the fact that you have an underlying demand that's very deep for Fichicasa projects, for low-income projects within the city of São Paulo, exactly where EZTEC's business model lays in. Now, when you look at the other two launches, Signature by Watch and Eredita Parque da Mooca, you really have a much brighter note where you have a sales performance where, over the course of a little more than 2 months, you've had as much as 39 and 35% of the projects sold. And here we're talking about mid-high income projects mostly in regions like Aclimação and Mooca, which naturally are very much consolidated neighborhoods, but they're really not on the very inner core of the prime regions of São Paulo that up until now had been the center of price gains in the city. Now, when you look at the performance for these projects, it was in a way a first that we actually managed to sell with a very quick speed of sales, while at the same time picking up in prices. So Signature by Watch, for example, is a project that its original feasibility analysis by April 2019 would point to something like 8.5 to 9,000 per square meter, while we're actually selling it at an average of 12.5 right now. And Eredita Parque da Mooca is a similar trend. Mooca is a place where we have a large land bank exposure, so this is a very promising sign. We managed to also sell the most recent units at a price of 10,000 reais per meter, very, very surprising figure. And now, moving ahead, it's also important to point to launches that we have scheduled for the following months. And here, I emphasize the fact that these projects on the screen right now are actually already approved by the city, by the municipality, by licensing officials. So basically, here is the first important sign of breaking through that bottleneck that we were facing over the course of the past quarters. So naturally, it's something that it's an awkward moment to make launches in the face of sales stands that are closed through the red phase of the pandemic. So it's more likely that these projects may happen in effect subsequent to the red phase, where we actually get to bring the client in a very organized and adherent to the sanitary protocols, to bring that client to the sales stand, accompanied by a broker, where he will feel the enthusiasm of visiting the decorated stand and committing with a long-term purchase. Still, these projects are available and the commercial team is lining up their commercial strategy so that we can execute a quick deployment as soon as possible. On top of these projects, we're also having additional projects on track to be launched for as soon as those approvals are emitted. So you have Arcadio and Alta Vista Residence Resort are also lined up and inspire more confidence in our capacity to fulfill the guidance, the two-year term guidance that we emitted 1 year ago, which basically implies that going ahead, we still have something like 2.8 to 3.3 billion of additional launches to be made up until the end of the year. And here we started with some cues of how that should happen. Now, moving ahead, I'll pass the word to Emilio, who will start addressing the financial performance.
Many thanks, Hugo. Let's talk about slide number 12, financial performance. Let's start with net revenues and gross profits and gross margin. So both are subjects that we can see one complementing each other. It's important to mention that when you look deeply at the results of the fourth quarter 2020, you can understand what happened in Brazil in terms of the construction costs, in terms of the national inflation index for the construction costs. So first of all, it's important to understand that 2020 was a year that we saw INCC bringing something around 9% year over year. And 12 months by now, we have something around 12%. So inflation is in a clear order to ramp up, especially in the construction materials. Materials that are tradable, materials that are completely connected with the current price and the cost of the steel, for instance, the copper, plastic, and all of the materials that are tradable and can be exported from Brazil to abroad. So, first of all, so the inflation was high, was something around 3.5% in the fourth quarter 2020. And by the methodology we have been using to recognize revenues, you have to recognize by the percentage of completion, PORC. So PORC is, you have a base of costs. When you expand this base of cost by 3 to 4% in just one quarter, obviously you are getting down, you are diminishing the total amount of the percentage of completion for that same site. So, and that's why in order to see, for instance, one certain amount of construction recognized or revenues recognized, you can see a little bit less than we thought before. First of all. Second of all, let me remind you that by EZTEC methodology to recognize costs, so it's of paramount importance to recognize all the incremental costs by INCC or by the negotiations we have with our supply chain at once in the fourth quarter 2020 to have a clear status of the current situation in the construction cost. And that we have done. That's why you can see gross margin coming down from 44 in the third quarter 2020 to 40 in the fourth quarter 2020. That's not a proxy of you're going to see in the next few quarters, because if you pay deeply attention at the backlog margin of our company, as we're going to see on the next slide, we're going to see something around 45% backlog. Some taxes, we are going to see something around the 43% of gross margin in the coming quarters. Apart from that, it's important to mention that part of our operation is to sell back to the market the units recovered from the prospect of providing financing to our clients. So, some kind of units, instead of bringing the units to the banks in order to get mortgages and receiving the money at once, we can provide financing to them. As you know very well, EZTEC has been holding something around 1,600 clients, which we are providing financing to them. So from those clients, we have recovered some units because of delinquents. We are going to talk a little bit more further. And obviously, we have to sell back to the market. In the last four quarters, all the units sold back to the market was something around 13 million reais, fully recognized in the results of 2020. But the margin, obviously, is not the same margin of a unit fresh provided by the company. So a unit launched and sold by the company. It's a unit that the cost is the current debt of that of the unit provided by the client. So that's why the margin, the gross margin on average got from those units sold back is something around 6% all over the year, but 13% specifically on the fourth quarter 2020. That's important to mention. Another fact that it's important to keep in mind, it's about our Fit Casa segment, our Fit Casa company of launches in the Minha Casa Minha Vida, the low-income segment here in the city of São Paulo and metropolitan region of São Paulo. So those units, we bring the contracts to Caixa Econômica Federal as soon as we start the construction. So, which means that when you think about adjusting those contracts for INCC, it is not that true, because the total amount of the value is going to be paid by Caixa Econômica Federal without any kind of adjustment. That is the regular work from companies working with Minha Casa Minha Vida projects like Direcional, MRV, or Curi, among others. So in these specific segments, without watching the receivables adjusted by INCC and the costs adjusted by INCC in this specific segment, obviously there is much more pressure over gross margins, and this pressure can be seen exactly in the fourth quarter 2020. So, moving on to selling expenses, it's important to bear in mind that was one of the better rates talking about selling expenses over gross profits since ever for this company, specifically because selling apartments online can be a little more profitable, a little more rational than the way we spend so far, specifically because we have no the same amount of publicity, we have another kind of sales stand, we have another kind of, I would say, tools to sell, which are less expensive than we used before. That's why when you look deeply at the fourth quarter 2020, we can see the ratio at a level of 3% since the third quarter 2020. Talking about the G&A expenses specifically on the fourth quarter 2020, there was an adjust of over 5 million reais in the fourth quarter, specifically because of the IPO expenses with lawyers and auditing companies from the IPO of Easy Inc. that we have canceled in the first quarter of 2021. So we booked it, we recognized it as expenses in the fourth quarter 2020 without moving this expense to be recognized in 2021. Apart from that, you can see the volume of G&A expenses can be a little bit flat at a level of 26 million, 26 million reais all over 2020. Moving on to slide number 13, let's talk about on the bottom, on the top left financial result. Obviously, one of the main highlights from this fourth quarter 2020, which was something around 76 million reais. Mostly because of the adjustments in IGP. So IGP exclusively in the fourth quarter recognized in this result was something around 11%. So all in all, IGP last year was something around 26%, but only in the fourth quarter 2020, something around 11%. Apart from these receivables, adjusted by IGP plus 10 on average, we have to bear in mind the volume of cash and equivalents we have been holding in our company, which is something around 1 billion AIs, with a yield of 2% on average in the fourth quarter 2020, getting up a little bit by this end of the first quarter 2021, because the Selic rate was moved by the central bank last year from 2.75%. Talking about equity income, let me remind you that the equity income are product that we have in a mix of control with our partners. And the most expressive project in the fourth quarter was Reserva da Otabê, a residential project in the city of Osasco, very well sold, a project of something around close to 40% gross margin. In the next coming quarters, you're going to see, as Hugo mentioned a little bit earlier, projects like Signature, Biot, Eredita, Parque da Moca, Meu Mundo Moca, all of them projects launched in the fourth quarter 2020, but without any revenue recognition so far, because they haven't achieved 6 months or 50% sold so far. In the coming quarters, we're going to see those projects improving the equity income results in a very profitable way, because all of them. We are talking projects that are coming with gross margin better than 40%. Talking about the bottom left, net income of this company, 140 million reais in the fourth quarter 2020, the most expressive, the bigger result for one single fourth quarter since 2015. And even talking about the whole year, 405 million reais in a net margin of 43% is the biggest result since 2015, excluding the fact of the sale of Easy Towers Tower A that time. Exclusively in the fourth quarter 2020, the net margin reached something around 53%. Important to bear in mind, that not only because of the operational results, not only because of the financial results, but even because when you look deeply at the other revenues or other expenses, other revenues again in 2020 was positive. And positive because we sold one project to Direcional and one project of Minha Casa Minha Vida, in a branch, the level two branch. They are much more specialized on doing that. And the path we could see from this sale was something around 8 million reais. And in terms of, we bought one very big project and in 2020, a project located in the neighborhood of Moca, in the city of São Paulo, it's zone of São Paulo, and even buying this project, so we have paid less than the worth value of the project, and that's why we had to recognize, because of CPC number 18, we have to recognize again of something around 8 million reais. Two, that's important to bear in mind. And finally, backlog margin came at a flat 45%. 45% in the coming quarter is gonna turn into something around 43% because of the taxes. but remaining step, which is very, very good compared to the current gross margin of 40%, in a level of 421 million reais to results to be recognized. So far, no threats or no threats in terms of gross margins in the coming quarters. Moving on to slide on page 14. 14, it's our receivables, performed receivable that we have been providing financing to our clients. That's interesting because looking deeply at the chart below, you can see that in 2018, we had something around 1,700 clients. 2019, we ended up the year with close to 1,900 clients. And 2020, we ended up this year at a level of 16,000 clients. So there was an acquaintance of 475 compared to the origination of 162 clients. Especially because, obviously, the inflation index we have been using to adjust this portfolio is something around 26% over the year, which is the IGP. But the good news coming from this slide is the foreclosure. The foreclosure is about 7 units only. Talking about the worth of this portfolio ended up 2020 at 509 million reais with only 3 million reais of foreclosure. The highlight is the total amount of payments around 198 million reais, so around 200 million reais of cash received within 2020. That's important because you can see because of the short below, you can see people paying in advance their obligations. So we can see reducing the number of the clients we are providing financing without experiencing a greater default on this portfolio. So the same units under the default situation at the beginning of this year. The beginning of 2020 are the same at the end of 2020. So, and obviously because of it, we are going to see improving the numbers of foreclosure in the coming quarters. But nothing in my personal opinion, creating a trap or a trend for this portfolio. And let me remind you that all the units under foreclosure, we are selling back, we can sell back, providing a gross margin of, on average, 13%. Moving on to slide on page number 15, an important subject, which is Fit Casa. As you can see on the top left, you can see 42 million reais of net income contribution to EZTEC in 2020. So all in all, 10% of the total amount of net income for EZTEC and a gross margin of almost 44%. So, more important than that, you can see on the right, top right side of this slide is the return on equity of 20%. So, thinking that in the coming quarters, we are going to recognize under these numbers, Fit Casa José Bonifácio in a gross margin of 40% and Mimundo Estação Marca in a gross margin of 50%. So, there will be there will be a possibility to see likely the return on equity coming at the same level for 2021 because of the projects coming to be recognized in the next coming quarters. So a very, I would say, profitable unit under EZTEC's management. Slide number 16, we can talk a little bit about Easy Inc. Easy Inc, it's important to understand that the fourth quarter 2020 brought assets value at 865 million AIs and shareholders equity around 716 million AIs. So the remaining 148 million AIs of liabilities are because mainly 134 from this number, mainly because one piece of land, a piece of land of Bergo Divino, one tower we bought in the south zone of São Paulo, very close to Marginal Pinheiros, that we have to pay under installments each 6 months, adjusted by Selic plus 150 base points. So the great news coming in the first quarter 2021 over Easy Inc. is the approval by the municipality of Fernandes Moreira Tower, Fernandes Moreira Project, a gross leasable area of around 8,000 square meters, despite the fact that nowadays there was an off-the waiver, which means that we are not looking for capital increment. So this moment for this company due to the status of the capital markets and our economy indeed. So, slide number 17, the value generation is a very common slide we have been doing, which means that in 2020, the whole shareholders equity in this company ended up this year in of around 4.1 billion reais, which means that the controlling shareholders group they got something around 4 billion reais in this amount. So these, the breakdown for this amount is in terms of assets. Cash and equivalents can represent something around 25% of this equity. The receivables coming from finished units, perform the receivables, we are talking about 16% of the equity, 571 million reais. The cost of the ready inventory is something around 8% of our equity, 281 million reais. And more important than that, when Mr. Hugo mentioned earlier, land bank acquired of around 10 billion reais. It means in our accountancy that these amount of land are booked by a cost of 1.77 billion reais, which means less than 11% ratio cost over PSV. Let me remind you that when you see when you see these figures in terms of land bank, including all the grants, all the setbacks we have already booked to launch the project or to build the project, like for instance, in the Zinc project, Step Towers. Step Towers is a project that we can understand something around 9 million reais of land and another 9 million reais of setbacks or grants. So all of them booked in, inside 1 billion reais land bank cost. So in terms of liabilities, there are only two worth to mention. First of all, 184 million reais of land to be paid in the next coming quarters, mostly because of 134 million reais coming from the project of Verbo Divino. And finally, 96 million reais of dividends to be paid, dividends that we are make the proposal, the management proposal in the next coming days to the annual meeting of shareholders to be held and at the end of the next month. So only that's our conference call for today. We are completely open to receive any further questions you may have. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Emilio. And this is Hugo speaking. And here, for logistical reasons, I'll invite the sell-side analysts on the room to raise their hands and to maintain their hands raised while we give the response, just so we can have a back and forth response. Now, I noticed that Nicole Inui from Bank of America has her hands up, so I invite her to speak. Please open her microphone.
Great. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Emilio. Thank you, Hugo, for the call. It was great. Can you talk a little bit about the impact of these renewed lockdowns in São Paulo on your business? You know, you mentioned perhaps some of the launches may be delayed till we get out of this red phase. But how do you see it impacting also sales and also your pace of construction and also, you know, approvals for additional projects, additional launches down the road? Thank you very much.
Nicole, thank you so much for the questions. Obviously, it's a kind of subject that brings a lot of concerns to a company like Citex, specifically because we have been working only in the city of São Paulo and some projects in the metropolitan region of São Paulo. And the sector, the whole sector, the real estate sector, the government has a consideration to keep the sites and the construction working so far. So the news we have so far, it's about to bring earlier the holidays to São Paulo in the next few weeks. We are going to see for one whole week the entire city closed because of those holidays, those anticipated holidays. So let's talk about some two kind of things, two kind of different impacts. So first of all, in terms of sites under construction. Sites under construction so far, Nicole, let me remind you that since June, July last year, we have been working with some impacts, specifically in the supply chain, not because of the workers, not because of the workforce, but because of the supply chain. So it's hard to see the same amount of materials, the same amount of services provided by the to the constructions in the right time, and that's why we saw less advance in the construction than we thought before. In the first quarter of 2021, it's not different than that. We have some sites under construction bringing to an end with much more, I would say, safe than the sites under construction in the beginning of the construction. So specifically because in the beginning of the construction, you depend much more on the raw material than the finishings over the others. So on the mix, in the first quarter, you don't expect a much greater improvement in terms of revenues recognition because of it. And obviously, this impact we're going to see also in the second quarter of 2021-2022. But in terms of sales, it's a little bit different. So far, we have achieved something around 240 million reais of gross sales. So it's a very good number, especially because we haven't launched any project yet, and we're expecting to launch the very first project at the end of March, at the end of this quarter, specifically because we got the approvals of 400 million reais. Of 100 million reais in the east zone of São Paulo. We don't know for sure what's going to happen with the sales stands. Obviously, by March, we know that the sales stands are not going to be open, specifically because of those new measures to be taken. So we expect this project specifically in the Vila Prudente zone of São Paulo, had a kind of warm up in this project since January, since last January. And we think that we can sell something because of this warm-up, even online. Mr. Silvio Zarzur, in the Portuguese conference call, mentioned that the project ID Paraíso, which is a very small project, 26 million reais, our stake in the potential sales value, he thinks that he can sell it only for current clients of EasyTech. So he thinks that we have a way out. Very interesting, but that's it. It's not much more than it. We are talking about 200 million reais. So to launch another 300 million reais of the approved projects, we have to see sales stands open again. In terms of taking licenses, it's a little bit complicated because obviously we can see nowadays the municipality getting all the employees from those offices, releasing the approvals, working home office. And we know that the pace of releasing licenses are going to be slower than we saw in the last 4 to 6 months. So all in all, we have a mindset to launch something around 1 million reais in the next coming months, specifically because part of it we have already approved and part of it are in the point to get the license. It's missing someone to sign, only someone to sign this approval. So 1 million we're going to take, which means something around 1/3 of the whole guidance for this year. That's it. That's the whole perspective we can get you today, Nicole.
Great. That's very clear, Emilio. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole. Now, in the absence of any hands up, I would take the opportunity here to make use of some questions that we got from personal investors, from non-institutional investors over the Portuguese call. I'll do a quick translation and enjoy Emilio's presence here. Now, we had a question from João Paulo Araújo, who asked for more details as far as what happened as far as construction inflation, how that affects the budget for the quarter. And I'll combine that with Rafael's question, no surname given, who asked about how are we dealing as far as prices, as if we're able to pass through the construction cost inflation to prices. And it's asking specifically about Minha Casa Minha Vida.
Hugo, thank you very much. Thanks to João for the question. It's important to understand that we have been dealing with the cost of construction the same way we have been dealing for 15 years. So as we are trying to take advantage of a very good position of cash, a very safe position of cash, let me use it as an example. Lifts, elevators. So we have a major contract to buy lifts with Atlas Schindler, one of the biggest supplier for this chain in Brazil. So, but this contract is adjusted by IGP, and then the 12 months from now, ending now, our IGP is very close to 30%. So we have some discussions with Atlas Schindler to pay in advance all the bills open for lifts that we have in all the construction sites under construction right now, which means that we are going to avoid something around the 30% increment in the prices, incremental prices in the lifts in sites under construction. So it's a way to avoid. In terms of steel, for instance, everyone knows that Brazil is one of the major producers of iron all over the world. But obviously, iron is tradable. And so a company selling steel for the units, the construction sites here in the city of São Paulo, they have to practice the common prices, the common wood prices of this. We have a great push to buy iron from China, for instance, and there is a lack of in the supply chain because of a lot of countries. We can see closures in those factories, in those mining companies. So that's why the beginning of January this year, the steel increased for us something around 40%. And next April, beginning of 1st of April, we're going to see another 30% incremental prices in steel. So that's why last year we bought 100% of the steel we need for that year, at once January. This year, unfortunately, the companies are not allowing us to do the same, but at least we are buying 6 months in advance of steel, avoiding 30% incremental prices in April, which means that a lot of piece of land that we are not increasing the construction or doing the construction right now, are nowadays storage of steel for constructions coming in the next quarters. We are trying to make an inventory of steel in order to avoid those incremental prices. But obviously, it's the kind of thing that we are doing for now, taking advantage of our cash and equivalents position. But it's not sustainable for the long term. Nowadays, we can sell the units with a little gain or no gain, but in the same pace of the INCC, and we know for sure that the INCC is not adjusting for sure the real prices we are facing in a city like São Paulo. So only to bear in mind, so thinking about a project that we had launched 2 years ago and trying to make the budgets for now, so the adjustment is something around 150% of the INCC. So INCC in projects that we are going to see a timeline of the construction ending 2 years from now, 3 years from now, there's no doubt that the INCC are gonna get the point to show us all the incremental prices we are facing today. And the moment the INCC has done that, we are going to see an incremental gross margin, specifically because the price we sell the units all around 40%, 45% is the cost of the construction. So incremental prices over 10% means that from the price, I am incrementing something around 10%, which means in the base 100, I'm incrementing 10, I incremented from 100 to 110, and the cost from 40 to 44, which means an incremental gap of gross margin of around 6% to 5%. So, but now currently we can see some of constraints to improve the margin so far. That's the explanation. In terms of Pichicasa, it's important to bear in mind that the way we have to practice are not only bringing the contracts to Caixa Econômica Federal without any kind of adjustments of inflation. The only way to practice, to sell, is to sell as we have been selling all the units in this company without bringing the contracts to Caixa Econômica Federal. So we make the contract, the major contract with the bank, but we provide to the bank only half of those units we need to provide, keeping 15% of those remaining units under the management of our company, adjusting those units to INCC, adjusted those units to the inflation cost. So, which means that we are going to try to take an insurance of this incremental cost using a tool that we have the most, which is our position of cash.
And given the time, that concludes our conference call for the fourth quarter and for 2020. Thank you, Emilio. And thus far, the investor relations team will remain available for whatever questions, whatever concerns. Feel free to get in touch.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day and keep safe. Thank you.